This morning I'm speaking on what I've titled, You Cannot Go Down. You cannot what? Go down. And in the name of Jesus, you will not go down. Go with me into Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Nehemiah chapter 6 from verse 1 to 4. And I'll be reading from the NLT version. It says, Then Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied, sending this message to them, I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. Four times they sent the same message, and each time he did what? He gave the same reply. A couple of years ago, I think maybe about 5 years ago now, I took my family to the zoo, the D.C., Washington, D.C. zoo. Now, I have been to the zoo before, but they hadn't been there, you know, up until the time when I took them. So I told, you know, and they were like, oh, daddy, we want to see the lion. They want to see the lion. He was just a lion. Everyone wants to see the lion. You know, oh, did you see the news about the gorilla, the zookeeper that got stuck in the gorilla? You saw it, right? They're trying to feed the gorilla somewhere in Texas, I think, and, you know, but the person is safe, you know. And the gorilla just like, they thought the gorilla was locked in the cage, but apparently he wasn't. So he just, you know, kind of went after the person, but the person is fine. Anyway, so I told them, I was going to take them to the zoo. Then I told my wife, I said, when we get there, the lion's den, their cage, is at the end of the zoo. It's all the way down. So because the kids were still a little bit younger, then I said, let's go straight to where the lions are. And then we'll walk our way back up, you know, in seeing all the animals, and then leave from there because we don't want the kids to get tired. I said, are we good? Say, yes, we're good. We're good, right? Yes, we're good. So we got to the zoo. Got to the zoo, heading to the lion's place and everything. And then my wife saw, zebra. So we went. We saw the zebra. I said, babe, let's go to where the lions are. Okay? We are not seeing these animals now. Oh, yeah, sure. And then we're going again. Jaguar went, saw the jaguar. And we're doing that up. Turkey. We'll see the turkeys. Goats. We'll go. We'll see the goats. And we were doing that up until we got to, by the time we got to the lion, even the lions were tired of waiting of us. They were tired of waiting of us. we couldn't really see them. It was sunny. They had gone in. The kids were tired as well. And then I remember it was a conversation. I said, you should have just listened to me. See the lions and then walk our way back up. And then we spoke about, you know, so that's, you know, staying focused and everything. And she said, okay. She was sorry, this and that. Okay. So we're heading home. Same day, heading home. I said, oh, can we branch by the store real quick? Real life story. You know, she wants to get a gallon of milk for the kids. So, oh, yeah, sure. Just a gallon of milk. So we got there. I didn't even park in the parking lot. I parked by the entrance. Just go in, pick milk, and come out. So I was there waiting. What's going on? Milk. Can milk be that? Are they just pasteurizing the milk? Can it be that heavy? What kind of milk is it? I was just thinking different things. By the time my wife came out, I just saw a cat. I saw cats. Ah, man, I just lost it. What? Cats. Why cats? 1 gallon of milk. A whole what? Cat. What? So that day was the last day I fell for, can we quickly stop by? I said, never. never. When I get home, then you can go and buy that 1 gallon of milk. The other alternative is, give me the list. I would go, and I promise you, if you tell me to buy 2 things, even if the item next to it, I know we need it, I won't touch it. That's me. Like, anyone like me there? Yeah, okay. Oh, only the men are raising up their hands. If you give me a list of 2 things, I go in, I get those 2 things, I'm out. Give me a list of 100 things, I will get you the 100, not the 101 things. Same day. So, we don't shop together. And our marriage is fine by the grace of God. Oh boy. What do you do? How do you maintain focus in a very noisy world? A very noisy world. How do you go forward with the many distractions around you? The many distractions around you. Quick background into Nehemiah. Nehemiah, actually, it's interesting that the name Nehemiah means the Lord will comfort. What an irony. You know, his name means the Lord will do what? Will comfort. So at a point, Nehemiah's brother, Nehemiah was living in a place called Shushan. He was serving a king as the cupbearer. And his brother, he had a brother called Hanani. His brother brought news to him about the children of God, you know, living in Jerusalem. And here is what he said in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. About the Jews living in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1, verse 3, it says that the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So here it was referring to the original destruction of Jerusalem, which happened by a king called Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. All right? And for those who are familiar with this story of Nehemiah, it has always been centered around the rebuilding of the wall. The rebuilding of the wall. But Nehemiah was actually asking about the Jews, about the people. If you read that scripture again, it says, the survivors who are left there, they are now in great distress and reproach. Then it goes on to say, the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. His concern was really about the people. So the rebuilding of the wall was a way to also rebuild the people. The rebuilding of the wall was a means to an end, if you don't understand what I'm saying. You know, growing up for me, there are times when you'll see some houses in certain areas, dilapidated houses. And they have quite a few of them in like rural areas. You know, and the house looks abandoned. You know, there used to be, you know, people who were living in there. There was a particular family, right? But now nothing is happening there. You know, it looks extinct. And then all of a sudden, one day you just see the house getting painted. You know, the house is getting painted. The house is getting painted. And then the next thing that happens is that the family members, they come home for something, a remembrance or a memorial or whatever it is. They do something. And that sends a message to the people in the community that, you know what, we are still here. You know, this family is not extinct. Even though, you know, this house looked abandoned maybe when someone passed on, but we are still what? We're still here. So what Nehemiah was doing was that the repairing of the wall was also a way to send a message to people that, oh, you know what? The children of God, they are still here. The Jews, we are still what? We are still here. We are still here. So that was a way of bringing them together, of restoring them and rebuilding them. Nehemiah, let's fast forward. Nehemiah prays to God. And when you get the chance, kindly read Nehemiah chapter 1 to 6. Very, very powerful chapters. Nehemiah chapter 1 to chapter 6. And eventually, he rebuilds the wall. But not without opposition. Go with me. Let's go further into Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 now. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. It says, "But it so happened when Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are this feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, it will break down the stone wall.'" Wow. 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 You know, not everyone will be happy about your progress. Not everyone will be happy that you want to move forward. Do you know what touched me in this scripture? The beginning part where it says, "But it so happened," verse 1 of Nehemiah 4, "but it so happened when Sambalat heard that they were rebuilding the wall." It so happened that when he heard, he just heard. He hadn't seen the wall being built. He hasn't seen the workers even come together. He hasn't seen the materials. He only heard that they were about to build the wall. And that was enough to get him angry. Some people will hear that you're about to pursue a vision, and it's enough to get them upset. Some will hear that you're about to go back to school, and it's enough to get them upset. Some will hear you're about to grow deeper with God, and it's enough to get them upset. Oh, you're about to get married. You're about to start a family or start a business. All they did was hear you share that, and that's enough to get them what? Upset. Oh, this Sambalat guy is as bad as the name. That name, even Sambalat. Sambalat. That's not... look at all the names. Tobiah. Geshem. I mean... Sambalat went to the extent of mocking Nehemiah in front of his friends. He mocked him in front of Tobiah. He mocked him in front of Geshem. Guess what? The scripture says that he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria. So the entire army also heard him mocking Nehemiah. Mocking Nehemiah. Oh, boy. Oh. And you know, people have different, at least, you know, different places have different ways of, you know, of mocking. In America here, you hear, psh, they want to talk about something. Psh, girl, have you heard? Psh, boy, he's trying to go back to school. Girl, you know, where I come from, you know. Oh, boy. You know, once you hear, oh, boy, it means something is about to, you know. Oh, there's another one. What's something about wonders? Wonders will never end. Have you heard? One, if you're Ghanaian, you say, psh, Charlie. When you hear that, you know we're about to talk about something. Sambalat was that guy. Going around. Have you heard? Psh, he wants to get married. He wants to settle down. Does he look settled? He said he wants to settle down. Oh, she said she wants to go back to school. At that age, can you imagine? Who will be teaching who? Mockery. Mockery. Some people will feel threatened just by hearing your vision. And verse 3, the interesting thing that Tobiah, that he did, This was the person they told. Tobiah said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone wall. Ah. This is so bad because not only are they mocking your beginning, they are also mocking the end results. Something you haven't even started doing. Mocking you, telling you, oh, it won't work out, you know. Oh, no, it won't work out. Oh, shoot, what are you thinking? Oh, no, it's not for people like you. Oh, you want to open the stop? No one will come now. Have you really? No one will call. People don't want that anymore. You know? Oh, no, you don't have, no. Oh, you're too old for that. Oh, you're too young for that. He said, even if they do that, the foxes will just puff and huff and blow the wall down. The voice of negativity and manipulation is the voice of the enemy holding you back from going forward. But today, in the name of Jesus, I silence that voice of negativity in the mighty name of Jesus. I mute that voice of manipulation in the mighty name of Jesus. That voice of confusion is canceled right now in the name of Jesus. But to the glory of God, Nehemiah completed the wall. He completed the wall. And you will think that they would stop there. You will think they would stop there, right? Initially, it was Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. But guess what? Let's see again. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. It says, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies. Did you see that? Meaning the opposition grew more as Nehemiah was going forward. Before it was just Sanballat, right? Tobiah, right? And Geshem. Now it says Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies. Meaning those three people continued to mock them while the work was going on. They continue to say, you know what, it would not work. There will be people who would not just stand for you, no matter what it is. They would just, get you entered in the first year, they would mock you in the first year, they would mock the second year, they would mock the, they would see the thing succeeding and still continue to help you build more enemies. They did what? They continued. And at this point, Nehemiah did something very powerful. Because guess what? He had rebuilt the wall at this point. And they said, you know what? Let's call him to come. But what Nehemiah was doing was so significant. They wanted to call him so they could attack him. The enemy, once he sees that, because he had rebuilt the wall, and I'm sure Tobiah will have realized that foxes cannot bring down. I don't think foxes can bring down this wall. So when they realized that they could not attack his vision, they wanted to attack the visionary. So they called him and told him to do what? To come. To come. So they could attack him, since they couldn't attack the wall. Be very careful. Be very careful. Be very careful. You must be on guard. You must be spiritually alert at all times. Be very careful. Because you won't say, well, I won't share my vision to people so I don't get attacked. No. The same scripture tells us, cast the vision. Make it plain. So that those who see it will do what? They would run with it. Some will see it and mock you. Some will see it and do what? And run with it. Cast it. But you do what? You stay focused. You stay focused when you're going. Stay focused. The enemies, they may be growing. They may be growing more and more in different places, but you stay focused on the vision that the Lord has given you. Nothing is too insignificant. What Nehemiah was doing, once the wall had been rebuilt, he was adding, you know, hinges and putting up doors and things like that. You know, when you build a home, there's a stage which is probably like the final stage. There's a stage called finishing, right? Finishing is when you make sure that the walls look good. You're not seeing patches and things here and there, you know. And finishing is what actually beautifies a home. Finishing is what people see that makes them want to buy the house. No matter how good a house is, if the house isn't painted, if it's without windows and doors, if it doesn't have good finishing, I'm telling you, you won't buy it. You won't buy it. So finishing is so important. And it might seem very little, but that was what Nehemiah was doing. Because the wall was built. Yet, he said, you know what? This little thing is not insignificant. I will still stay focused on this. Yes. I will still stay what? Focused on this. Just going to give us a few things. Watch out for the enemy's distractions. Watch out for the what? The enemy's distractions. In verse 3 of Nehemiah 6, again it says, so I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot do what? I cannot come down. You don't have the time for Sambalat. You don't have the time for Tobias. You don't have the time for Geshens. And the other no-name people. You don't have the time. You cannot go down. The Lord gave you something. You cannot go down. Number one, the reason is because you are doing a great work. Yes. Nehemiah said, what I'm doing is a great work. God gave you that vision. God gave you that idea. God inspired you with that thing. You are doing what? A great work. And what makes it great? The fact that the Lord, the great one, gave it to you. Whatever the Lord gives to you is great. So you are doing what? A great work. The vision you're working on is a great work. The business you're building is a great work. No matter the stage where it is, it's a great work. The curriculum you're building, it's a great work. The book you're writing, the ministry, whatever it is you're doing, it's a great what? Work. So stay focused and do not let anyone make your work look insignificant. Oh boy. I'll say that again. Do not let anyone make your work look insignificant. Because it's not. It's a great work. What else? The name I use in responding. Here it is. Wants us to know that your work is too vital to leave behind. Your work is too what? It's too vital to leave behind. It's too vital to leave behind. So you give it your best. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, 23 says, work willingly at whatever you do. Whatever you do. As though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Oh, I love this one. Meaning you do that work as unto God. You do that work as unto who? As unto God. As unto God. Imagine that we're not just praying to God, but we're also reporting to God. You're serving in the house here. You're not doing it unto men or unto the pastor. You're doing it unto God. Let me tell you something. In your professional work, you're not doing it unto men, unto the people who are there. You're doing it unto God. Whatever you do, do it knowing that God is your boss. God calls for a meeting. Would you get there late? No, you would not. If God reprimands you, for, you know, a project you didn't do well, would you be upset and just leave? God, I'm out of here, God. No, I'm out of this heaven. Where would you go? No, you would not. Whatever you do, that work, do it as unto God. Don't just call your work a menial job. It's not menial. It's great work. So do it unto who? As unto God. As unto God. Don't abandon it. The wall was done, but Nehemiah kept on working on those doors. You may not be where you want to be right now, but you are on the path to greatness. You're on the path to what? Come on, say it to yourself, I'm on the path to greatness. Say it again, I'm on the path to greatness. One more time, say it, I'm on the path to greatness. I'm telling you, I've done some interesting jobs. I've done some jobs. If you hear, you'll be like, really, Peter, how did you do that? Yeah, I've done some jobs. One of those jobs, my interview was 2 a.m. 2 a.m. 2 a.m. in the morning. I'll never forget. The boss said, yeah, so your interview, I'll see you at 2 a.m. in the morning. Ah, at 2 a.m. in the morning. I went. I mean, what will you do? I went. You are on the path to what? To greatness. To greatness. To greatness. Number three, give your work 100% focus. 100% focus. We're going to see the lions. We're going to get just 1 gallon of milk. 100% what? Focus. Focus. I cannot come down. You must understand that if you would go forward in life, you must maintain a high level of focus. Proverbs 4 verse 25. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. I love that. Let your eyes look where? Straight ahead. Straight ahead, meaning you keep 100% focus on that great work. When an environment where, you know, so many things are contending with us, so many things are contending with so many distractions everywhere, you know, so many things. You open up, you know, gone are the days when you turn on the TV and you see breaking news like once a day. I mean, sometimes once in like 2 or 3 days, you see breaking news. But now, every news is breaking news. You just see that in red overlay, breaking, capital letter. Capital, they put it in italics, breaking news. They're telling you that one, another one is scrolling behind, going this way. They are going in 2 different directions. They're like, which one should I go? Which should I go? Every news is what? Breaking news. Distractions. Social media is great too. But guess what? It can be a major source of distraction. It can be a major source of comparison. Distractions. Friends, the friends you keep. Let me tell you something about friends. Please ensure that your friends have a vision they are pursuing. Ensure they have great work. Ensure they have what? Great work. Something they are going forward and pursuing. Sambalat, Tobiah, Gesh, they were jobless. They were just there. They were just there. Had nothing of purpose. If your friends have no purpose, they may pollute your own purpose. That's one of the ways of deciding who stays as your friend or not. Because you should be able to share how far you are on your journey of progress. And they too should be able to share that, okay, yeah, this is where I am. And you encourage each other. You carry each other's burden. You pray for one another. You help each other. Because you are both moving what? Forward. Forward. No one can be focused for you. This is your own what? Responsibility. Responsibility. Be careful. Your cell phone. Your cell phone. Every time, open, everything. You have different tones for different messages. You know the tones for your emails, the one for your text, the one for your phone. You know, by the time you add all those things together, the amount of hours in a day that you may have lost. In the name of Jesus, you would go forward. Nothing would hinder your movements. In the mighty name of Jesus. And lastly, so how do you stay focused? You must have the mind of Christ. Oh no, you can never be focused without having the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. It says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The mind of Christ ensures that you are not troubled when the Sambalats, the Tobias, and the Geshems, when they come. You need the mind of what? The mind of... The scripture says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of love, of power, and of sound mind. You know, every time I read that, I get love. God is love. Do you understand? Love your neighbors. So yeah, I get the Lord will give us the spirit of love. Okay? Love is the greatest thing. And then I understand power to cast out demons. I understand power to have dominion, you know, over the enemy. And then I get that. But sound mind over everything else. Not wisdom. Not faith. Not, you know what I mean? Not any of those things. But sound mind. Because the mind of Christ is a sound mind. Oh, you need sound mind. You need sound mind. Do you think Nehemiah will have completed that rebuilding of the wall without sound mind? Hearing all those things, hearing the abuse, the mockery from all those guys, and I'm sure, because that Sambalat guy, I don't trust that guy at all. He's a very devilish guy. I don't trust him. Because you know, the scripture says, he mentioned it to the entire army. He probably gave them a song to be chanting while they were rebuilding the wall. You know, he probably gave them a song. Hey, it will come down. It will come down. It will fail. I mean, and you know, those days, armies are not just like 50s or 20s. They are in hundreds or thousands. You need sound mind. When the Lord gives you a vision and someone comes to tell you it will not work, you may say to that person, in the name of Jesus, it will work. But you go, it won't work. Could it be true that it won't work? The person who even said it has forgotten they said that. Oh, I'm starting school. You are too old, George. Well, leave these things alone. And then you go, maybe I'm actually too old. What am I even looking for? What if? Be careful of what ifs. What ifs are the ways of the enemy trying to just drop things into your ears. Into your ears. You need what? Sound mind. Sound mind. Sound mind. Mental fortitude. No matter what it is, I will stay with it until this vision speaks. No matter what it is, I will stay with it. I will stay with it. You open up the store, no one comes today, shoot, I'll be here tomorrow, same time, 9 a.m. Bye, community, I'll be here tomorrow, same time. You show up there the next day, you show up the following week, you show up the third week, you show up the 1 month after, and then one person walks in. That one person is a testimony. Give God praise. Give God what? Praise. Don't despise little beginnings. Our generation doesn't value little beginnings anymore. And God will still test your faith the same way he tested the faith of Abraham. The same way. The same way. There's no different one for millennials or Gen Zs. No, the same way. Until your endurance is fully developed. Don't abandon the work. You need sound what? Sound mind. The Lord would give you that mind in the name of Jesus. And this mind comes through the knowledge of God and meditating on the word. You know, when we say read your Bible, we're not just saying it as cliche or, you know, something spiritual that you should do. No. It's because part of having sound mind is from the meditation of the word of God. When that word sinks into you and you read and it says, with God, all things are possible. Then it means this great work, this vision that the Lord has given to me, with God in it, Who gave it to me? It is possible. Let it sink in. That's how you meditate on the word. It is possible. You see impossibilities around you in the environment, in the economy, in the government, in the news, wherever it is. With God, not with them. With God. It is what? It is possible. It is possible. It is possible. That God of possibilities will begin to show up for you in the mighty name of Jesus. And again, how do you stay focused? You must learn to let go. You must learn to do what? To let go. This one, you know, for those of you who have written exams before, maybe even professional exams, you know, whenever you're writing an exam, you've studied for it. You know, you begin to answer those questions. You know, it's nice, it's sweet when you know those questions. Like, this one is A. Tick A. This one is D. I knew they would ask this one. You know, everything is okay for you. I just smile here. This one is, you wanted to trick me. No, you will not work. Not today, devil. This one is C. Click it. And then you get to number 4. You're like, Who set this exam? What kind of question is this? How do people set exams like this? Who did this now? How do they expect? I don't know this. They didn't teach us this. Who set this exam? I know one of the things that we've been taught is whenever that happens in an exam, what do you do? Skip it and go to the next one. Just continue. And perhaps if you have more time, you can get back to it, or the answer may click. And then you go back to what? You go back to it. Please don't be so quick to abandon things. You must learn to let go of things that may hinder your progress. Learn to let go. Someone spoke to you. Someone. One person in your organization. There are 500 to 1,000 employees there. One person said something you don't like. And because of that, you leave the job. What? What? Skip the person and move on. A customer came, a client came, and said something to you about your business. One person said something negative, and because of that, you say, I'm just going to shut down this business. What's all these insults? One client, and you will miss 10,000. Skip, let go, and continue. Sambalat came first. Before talking to his friends, Nehemiah skipped him. Skipped Tobias. Skipped Geshem. Skipped all the enemies. He was even telling, you are not many enough. Go get more of you. Skip and do what? Go forward. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, doing what? Despising shame. Despising shame. His focus was to save you. His focus was to do what? Was to save you. Was to die for you. So you may be reconciled with the Father. So when shame came, let go. Skipped it. They spat on him. Pshoot. Big deal. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Pshoot. Whatever. They whipped him. He was naked. They crucified him. Pshoot. I am going to save my children. I would die for my children. No matter what these people do, I would die and resurrect and reconcile them with the Father. You must learn to let go. Learn to let go. Learn to let go. And lastly, oh, thank you, Lord. Surround yourself with people on a similar journey. Yeah. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Listen to the success stories of those on similar journey. Find people on similar journey. You're taking a program right now. Find people who are also taking the same program. You know, share your burdens together. Share it together. You're in a particular business right now. Find people who are also in that business and grow together. Iron sharpens iron. Wood does not sharpen iron. No. Find people on the same journey. listening to a pastor yesterday, he said his father took him to a school, and when he got to the school, he called the teacher, his teacher. The teacher came, he introduced his son to the teacher. And he asked the teacher, who is the best student in this class? And the teacher said, give me a minute. The teacher went and brought the boy. And the father, the teacher, his son, and the boy, they were there. And the father told the best student, see, my son, he's your best friend from today. Before the boy ever stepped into the class. Before the boy ever stepped into the class. So the boy said, I entered the class with that boy that day. And he ended the story by saying, eventually, it was through that boy that I came to know Jesus. Iron sharpens what? Iron. Iron. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that the grace to remain focused will rest upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will continue to do great work. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will empower you. It will grant you divine wisdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, it will be with you on all your journeys. In the name of Jesus, it will surround you with his favor. It will rest his hand over you. In the mighty name of Jesus, in your going out, you're blessed. In your coming in, you're protected. In the mighty name of Jesus, no matter the amount of enemies against you, the Lord will give you peace. It will give you sound mind. In the name of Jesus, no projects you're working on will be abandoned. In the name of Jesus, the Lord would ensure that your vision becomes a reality. It will announce you to the world. It would use you to proclaim his gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will go forward this month. This year will continue to be your year of all of our victory. You will share many testimonies. You will share good reports in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your business, in your professional life. In the mighty name of Jesus, nothing will hinder your journey. Nothing will obstruct you. In the name of Jesus, it is well with you. It is well with everything concerning you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, rise up on your feet. Give Jesus praise this morning. Come on, if you know you're doing a great work, give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah.